Brilliance Audio presents A Kingdom of Flesh and Fire by Jennifer L. Armentrout, performed by Stina Nielsen. We go home to marry, my princess. As in, get married? To him? Suddenly I thought of all those girlish fantasies I'd had before I learned who I was and what was expected of me. Daydreams given life because of the love my parents had for one another. Never once did those little girl dreams include a proposal that wasn't remotely an actual proposal. Nor did they incorporate it being announced at a table full of strangers, half of which wanted me dead. And those dreams surely hadn't involved what had to be the kingdom's worst and possibly most insane non-proposal of marriage to a man currently holding me captive. Perhaps I had some sort of ailment of the brain. Maybe I was experiencing hallucinations brought on by stress. After all, there had been so much painful death to process. His betrayal to deal with. And I had just learned I was descended from Atlantia, a kingdom I'd been raised to believe was the source of all the evil and tragedy in the land. Stress-induced hallucinations seemed a far more believable reason than what was actually happening. All I could do was stare at the larger hand holding my much smaller one. His skin was slightly darker than mine, as if kissed by the sun. Years of wielding a sword with deadly, graceful precision had left his palms calloused. He lifted my hand to an indecently well-formed and full mouth, to lips that were somehow soft, yet unrelentingly firm. Lips that had spun beautiful words into the air and whispered heated, wicked promises against my bare skin. Lips that had paid homage to the many scars that riddled my body and face. Lips that had also spoken blood-soaked lies. Now that mouth was pressed against the top of my hand in a gesture that I would have cherished for an eternity and thought exquisitely tender just days or weeks ago. Simple things like hand-holding or chaste kisses had been forbidden to me, as were being wanted or feeling desire. I had long since accepted that I would never experience those things. Until him. I lifted my gaze from our joined hands, from that mouth that was already curving up on one side, hinting at a dimple on the right cheek, and from the slowly parting lips that revealed just a hint of fatally sharp fangs. His hair brushed the nape of his neck and toppled over his forehead, and the thick strands were such a deep shade of black, it often shone blue in the sunlight. With high and angular cheekbones, a straight nose, and a proud carved jaw, he often reminded me of the large, graceful cave cat I had seen once in Queen Ileana's palace as a child. Beautiful, but in the way all wild, dangerous predators were. My heart stammered as my eyes locked onto his, orbs a shade of stunning, cool amber. I knew I was staring at Hawk. Coldness poured into my chest as I stopped myself. That wasn't his name. I didn't even know if Hawk Flynn was merely a fictitious persona, or if the name belonged to someone who had most likely been slaughtered for their identity. I feared it was the latter, because Hawk had supposedly come from Carcedonia, the capital of the Kingdom of Solus, with glowing recommendations. But then again, the commander of the guards in Macedonia had turned out to be a supporter of the Atlanteans, a dissenter. So, that too could have been a lie. Either way, the guard who'd pledged to protect me with his sword and with his life wasn't real, nor was the man who had seen me for who I was and not just what I was, the maiden, the chosen. Hawk Flynn was nothing more than a figment of fantasy, just like those little girl dreams had been. Who held my hand now was the reality. Prince Castile Danir, His Highness, the Dark One.